In the studio with us now, we're so glad to say that Bucknell University biology professor Chris Martine is back. We've been around the world with him as he sometimes discovers new plants that are out there, but studying the biodiversity of the world. Of course, one of the plants you found that's ultra rare was right here at the Shikellamy State Park Overlook, right?
Yeah, that's true. Just a couple of years ago, we were talking about the white alum root that nobody realized was on those sheer cliffs above the river. And it turns out it's there.
And you had to rappel down to discover
it. We did. Our team had to drop down on ropes, and we found something cool. Right?
Well, we're glad that your team always includes videographers. Thanks to what has become globally known as the video blog, right?
YouTube series.
Plants Are Cool Too.
Yep.
How many episodes of that have you done?
We're at around a dozen episodes right now on YouTube, and we got three new ones in production.
All right, and you literally have millions of viewers if you add up who's seen each one.
That's probably true, yeah, because they show in a lot of classrooms, K-12 and university, all around the world.
Yeah, plants are cool, too. And, of course, you literally have been around the world doing those, but you've been in our backyard, too. Of course, we mentioned hanging out over the Shikellamy State Park Overlook.
Yeah.
And one of the interesting episodes, we saw you up at the AOAA, the Outdoor Adventure Area.
Yeah, that's right. We highlighted some of the great work that mostly volunteers are doing out there to restore those forests and include in those forests the American chestnut that many people know is a species that really declined in the last century.
Okay, so that is happening, and after meeting you about 5 years ago, we soon discovered that you can discover new plants in the world, that anybody can, and that you in particular have, how many plants have you discovered?
We're about to describe our 9th or 10th new species in the lab right now. Pretty exciting stuff, yeah. There's so much out there still, and in Australia, where we do a lot of our work, the current estimates are that something like 70% of all the species in Australia haven't been described, right? They're still out there waiting for people to find them and give them a name.
And they have some slight nuance that makes them clearly different than their neighbors.
Yeah, they do. It helps to spend time in these places, right? So if you get to know a place and a group of organisms and you become kind of an expert on that, you can discover a new species. And it's possible for just about anybody to do that.
Well, after talking to you a couple of years ago, I am left with a deep concern. How's your tomato?
Yeah, we've got a couple of what the Australians call bush tomatoes out there in Australia that we've discovered and given names to. And as lots of folks know, there are a lot of fires burning in Australia. So I think our plants might be okay, but there's lots of plants and lots of animals in Australia that may not be okay after this.
Well, that is really why you are here today. Mm-hmm. I mentioned all those previous things to give you a fabulous background so people remember I think what a go-to person Chris Martine is for me and for people. But when it comes to other scientists and other universities, you're a go-to person?
Yeah, I guess, we all kind of develop our areas of expertise, and I've spent over 20 years studying this particular group of plants in the Australian outback and have been there 7 times and spent weeks and weeks sleeping in a tent and living among the, out in the bush among all the critters. And so I know a pretty good deal about this particular group of plants. And
go ahead, you finish that.
Yeah, thing. And so, I guess around here, I'm one of the people that can speak to what's going on down under.
Okay, well, super. And you're going back down under. Well, let's talk about Australia.
Yeah.
If folks know there's fires, we can envision forest fires around here. Mm-hmm. So tell us what is happening there.
Yeah, I mean, you can see it in the news. These are actually, absolutely catastrophic fire events that are still going on in Australia. Maybe people have seen the pictures on the news where, during the day, the sky is dark and orange. And you got people standing in the water on the beach to get out of the way of these huge bushfires. It's like something we've never seen before in Australia and maybe never seen before on any continent in terms of recorded history. It's absolutely devastating for a lot of folks there, but also, as people are beginning to see, for a lot of other organisms, right?
And this is a major pivot point for these broad, forested, and greened-over areas. Quite literally, they will never look the same.
They will not. And so we're seeing a lot of media coverage about things like koalas and other animals and large animals, and increasingly now for things like birds and even insects. But for me, as a botanist, I have to also recognize that the biggest impact might be the fact that pictures you see of those black and charred landscapes are really representative of a complete decline in all the plant life in these places. And that's really the structure on which the whole natural community is built, right? Those animals can't come back to these areas. They can't survive in these areas unless they have the places to live and the food to eat that these plants provide. So what happens next is kind of anybody's guess. Will these plants bounce back? I'm not so sure, right? It's going to be difficult.
So we have lost some plants for good.
Yeah, there's a pretty good chance that we have now seen numerous plant species in these sites go extinct, right? And that's probably the case for some larger animals even, and for many smaller things, right? There's a chance of lots of insects being extinct as well, simply because the habitats are in some of these places have been absolutely destroyed, and there are species that were very closely adapted to very particular places, and when those places fall apart, all the species go with it.
I'm kind of a biology clod. Animals and plants, well, scratch, mm-hmm. That was a dumb question. Animals and insects can't just outrun...
Yeah, I mean, some can, right? But it's one thing to sort of avoid being killed during the fire, but it's another to go back to a habitat or survive, say, in a hole in the ground and come up out of that hole and look around and find that everything that made up that habitat, which is largely the living plant life, is also gone, right? And at that point, then it becomes pretty critical that the plants are gone, right? And so now we're actually seeing efforts where people are flying over some of these sites and dropping carrots out of the air to feed things like wallabies and other critters that simply don't have anything left to eat in the places where they live.
And will this, we know green will cover this area mm-hmm. again.
Yep.
What will come back? Describe the selection.
Yeah, I mean, Australia is, a lot of those habitats are somewhat fire adapted, right? And so like low intensity fires that burn along the ground and might burn up some of the material there are things that those forests really respond to. So there are some plants that are pretty well adapted to kind of a low intensity, low frequency fire. But an event like this is likely to drive us toward a point where only the plants that are the most adapted, the toughest plants that live in those sites, might be the ones that bounce back. And then what we see really is a huge decline in the biodiversity of plant life that lives in these places. And that also has a real effect on everything else that can live there, right? So all the specialist animals, that lived on only on certain kinds of plants and certain kind of habitats may not have anywhere to live after this point for decades or potentially even centuries.
All right. So this area just won't look the same ever again.
It will not. Or if it does, it might take a really, really long time.
So this, you know, you can look around here and people will tell you, well, Ice Age did this to our area. Uh-huh. And you can look at areas out west where fires destroyed tall trees and, you know, that it'll be centuries mm-hmm. before that looks the same. So this area has changed for good.
Yeah, I'd say it has. I'd say the scale at which this is burning and the intensity at which it is burning is going to make some of these places somewhat unrecognizable for a long time.
I was almost tongue-in-cheek asking about your tomato, but yeah. You have essentially, because of this, if that species might have been wiped out by this fire, that you don't know yet.
Mm-hmm.
But you've saved this one because you have seeds and plants going.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things we do as part of our research is we usually collect seeds of all these plants that we study, particularly the most rare ones, so that we have them here in a seed bank here at Bucknell. We grow the plants in our greenhouse. A lot of these plants grow nowhere else but here in Lewisburg and in their spot in the outback. So if there was a chance that one of these species that we study would go extinct, like the one that the seventh graders at Acorn Middle School helped us describe a few years ago, we'd have the seeds to grow again.
They helped name it.
They did, yeah, okay. Those seventh graders. So they're actually seniors in high school, that group at Lewisburg High School. That's the group who helped us name Solanum ossicruentum.
Well, the world's a lot better in a couple of different good ways because of you and your hard work and what your team does and what your students have done. So thank you for all of that. And plus, it ain't over yet. So thank you for doing this on an ongoing basis. What should I know about Australia? This is a big event in your life because you monitor all of this.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody around here is going to say, so what?
Mm-hmm.
But this means something.
It does. I mean, first of all, it's a really amazing, very special place. It's unlike any. This is why we have all these crazy animals and all sorts of things there. It's a really unusual, truly unique place on the planet, full of amazing things and so much left to still discover. But it's also a bit of a bellwether, right? So the last you know, several years that I've been going to Australia, it's the case that precipitation continues to decrease, temperatures continue to increase, and so we've seen this trend, and that's sort of, this is not a one-time event, this fire. This is part of a trend in which we're seeing really big changes to that continent, where the rainy season that they depend on so much of that area is shortening, and the amount of rain they get each year is also declining, right? And so to some degree, this could be the new normal for Australia, and I think it's a bit of a red flag.
Was it climate change?
I think it's associated. I think that's a big part of it, and I think that there's lots of folks in Australia that right now are saying, hey, they're not actually, generally, I hate to generalize, but Australians generally are not a people that say, hey, look at us. That, you know, they don't want to be in the spotlight, typically, especially folks that live out in the bush country. But right now, they're all saying, look at us. Please look here, because this is what we're experiencing, and this is what we could be seeing more broadly.
And this is happening. Chris, I'll give you an additional remark. Anything to add? I'm sure I overlooked something important.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just really excited. I was telling you earlier that we are now collaborating with a group of anthropologists from Penn State and working with indigenous people in Australia to look at how they use particular plants as part of the Western deserts. And so we're heading out there, myself and the postdoc in my lab, Dr. Tanisha Williams, this July. So my biggest hope is that the habitats that we are going to go work in and study in are still intact. But I don't know that we're going to know that till we get there.
Well, please keep in touch. Come back and stop in anytime. Just phone in from there or Lewisburg and keep us up to date. Good luck to your Lewisburg ninth grade boys basketball team. Has your son on it, and you're the head coach?
That's true.
Big win last night, right?
Yeah, we beat Milton in overtime last night. Yeah.
Congratulations. A lot of big upsets last night. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me, Mark.
Professor Chris Martin, biology professor at Bucknell University.